The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Another version of the DFS Army Bowl Call podcast. We got another good one for you today. Another great guest. We are here with Dalton Del Don from Yahoo Fantasy Sports. What's up, Dalton?
Not much, Alan. How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, totally. You are one of our favorites over here. So, of course, we're going to have you on. We're delighted. I wanted to have you on for three reasons, basically. And those three reasons are I am fascinated by how you do your rankings process. And I know that's a question that a lot of people get, and then people snooze out because everyone has the same process. But year after year, you produce these giant outliers that end up hitting. So I want to get into that a little bit. And then also, you're the co-host of my favorite podcast, the Real Man Wood podcast. I have 1,000 questions for you about that. And lastly, well, of course, fantasy football, we'll get into that as well. But lastly, you are as much a pop culture and TV nut as anyone I know, and that warms my heart. So I'm going to have some questions about that for you as well.
Excited. Let's get started. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right, cool. So every year you produce these outlier rankings. I mean, we can go into the specifics of it, but I would be fascinated by your process exactly when you start. And this year you started earlier than ever, I'm sure. But take me through it and how you do all that.
Yeah, definitely earlier than ever with obviously the craziness going on in the world. Normally, I would have been concentrating on baseball and that just went away. And I remember looking back, I always fly to Vegas for this draft in July every year. And I'd basically be on the flight trying to cram. You know, this year I was doing the RotoWire Online Championships, NFFC leagues, you know, four or five of them before June or in June. It's crazy. So much different. For my ranking process is I fear that it comes across like I'm trying to be different or something, to make a name or something. That's just not the case. I do not do actual hand projections, which definitely is necessary in baseball. And there's systems far greater, smarter than me. Football, I've tried it. I've done it back in the day, which I'm sure we'll talk about. I wrote for RotoWire and I did the running back section for the magazine for many years, like 5 years or something. And so I know about the projections and how much, in my opinion, that can actually mess with your rankings. And to make a long story short, my rankings are just 100% how I would draft. If I were going to draft today, I'm not interested in floor or how it would look at the end of the year. If I have, you know, that I'm not really concerned about how I'm going to get graded. I'm more so how I personally am going to bring in that sheet. I'm lazy. I could separate them and kind of have my public rankings regress to the market more, but I'm too lazy. I'm going to use the draft sheet that I'm going to print from Fantasy Pros for my draft. And I just have some polls that, yeah, look at the mark afterwards. Look at my rankings before I look. And some are just way off. I do agree with some, and Liz has talked about regressing the market, and I will do that some and regress to ADP. But yeah, for the most part, the last few years in football, I've just had some crazy outliers in ADP.
So we'll get to the specifics of that in a second, but I wanted to get to a little bit of your history. In how long have you been in the fan? Like, how long have you been writing for Yahoo? Since 7 or 8 years now?
Yeah, like 7.5 years for Yahoo. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't mind taking me briefly through like your first exposure to fantasy sports as a kid, and then take that through to how you turned it into what you do for a living now.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. I've been obsessed with sports forever. I was in the seventh grade, which is a long time ago now, 26 years, doing a 3-man fantasy football draft. And those were super important. I hand scored the USA Today. Tuesday would come, you know, in the mail. So I've been doing it for a long time, did fantasy baseball. I'm still friends with high school buddies from fantasy baseball, basketball, and football leagues, which is now we just unfortunately weren't able to go. It would have been our 20-year reunion. So always been obsessed with sports, but was unsure what to do with my life in college. Got a degree in psychology, but before I realized, well, that's not what I want to do for a living. I'm obsessed with sports. So if there's any avenue, I went back another year, got a minor in journalism, learned more that year for the rest of my life than I did the rest of my school combined pretty much. Help with my writing. Took a while. I started up writing with RotoWire about 2006. And was just a beat writer for the San Francisco Giants. Jeff Erickson, I think, got back to me first. And, you know, it's just one team and you're covering them and you ask for more responsibility and slowly more here and there. For whatever reason, Chris Liss started, you know, asking for more work football. And that developed a relationship. And that developed a relationship in which I would go to events and I would meet some people like Brandon Funston, who were with Yahoo, And don't get me wrong, I worked 5-6 years for RotoWire, not making much money. You know, I mean, I've not get too in depth with me, but I had the benefit of a family that helped with a side job at the time. So really was able to manipulate my time. I'm not sure if I was able to do that otherwise, but luckily it resulted in a full-time gig at Yahoo eventually. And now suddenly you blink and it's 7 years later.
Yeah, it's crazy that, you know, you're, I said the same thing to Liz. I said, you're at a cruising altitude with your career right now. You're in a good rhythm. You're at a great company doing a job that you love. I mean, do you ever look back on it and say, I just can't believe I'm doing this for a living? I mean,
absolutely. So lucky. Yeah. I started a blog right of getting out of college, and I did thought it would just get a couple readers. And no, I didn't expect this. I'm super, super lucky, super fortunate. And and really, honestly, right now, getting in the industry, there are so many smart writers out there, and they'll get specific in one sport, and there's so many options out there. There's a lot of smart people in this industry, but yeah, to consider myself fortunate to do what I love for a living would be an understatement. And now, you know, with sports so tenuous right now, it makes you appreciate it all the more. But I'm lucky.
Where'd you go to school?
So I started out at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California, and ended up with my wife, long story, in Chico State. Actually known for its partying, but I was very much a homebody with my future wife, and they have a decent journalism program there, but both schools in California.
Yeah, now that's interesting. And for anyone, you know, that's looking, because, you know, I have conversations with people, and I'm kind of doing fantasy on the peripheral right now. It's kind of a full-time hobby. I'm able to do a few things with it, but I get asked that question a lot. How do you get into, you know, to doing it full-time? So I love talking to guys I admire, like yourself, that have been doing it for a long time, whose work I enjoy. So
the blog is just so simple, because it's your resume right there. You can just point to anyone. Here's what my writing looks like. Simple as that. I mean, so I know it's a simple answer, but man, that's what helped get me started. And I think it's the easiest way still. I mean, it's right there. I mean, obviously Twitter. Yeah, I mean, people are better at Twitter and social media than me, that's for sure. But man, if you just really want to get a sample of your writing, the best resume is just start a blog for free.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. And I advise everyone that's listening to this podcast, if you haven't had exposure to Dalton before, if you're just coming in for the DFS Army feed, Dalton is, his writing is, can be found on his Twitter, which is at Dalton Del Don, right? It's just at Dalton Del Don. There's a link. And if you press that link, it brings you to the Yahoo page with all his articles. And that's what I want to get into right now. Coming back during a few months ago, you put out an article that created quite a stir about Tom Brady. And I think that was I had more fun reading the comments than I think, and I love the article, but you caught a lot of venom for that article. And it was, is it fair to call it the case against Brady? Is that a fair way to phrase it?
Sure. Yeah. I had a little fun with Twitter saying Tom Brady's done, put a fork in him. But really, I'm just saying, very cautious. The way the Bucs are being, ADP, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are both being treated as top 8 wide receivers, and Gronkowski's top 8 tight end. The numbers Tom Brady's awesome, you know, the GOAT. But you look deep in the stats, which, you know, some people are not into, but completion percentage over expectation, the second half last year, to say he was bad would be an understatement. He was just a total disaster, 43 and a half years old. At this age, when you fall off cliffs, typically a lot earlier than 43 and a half. Now he's changing systems and entirely new everything with a coach that has to be hands-on. It's just, to me, I'm just surprised at the aggressiveness of ADP. So I put the column out there. There was nothing going on in the world in sports. Threw it out there. And obviously front page just happened to pick it up. That's what happens. It's not necessarily the quality of your writing. It's just, you know, what happens to pick it up. Front page picked it up 1,100 comments later. By the way, yeah. I have not delved into the comment section since I got hired at Yahoo. Secret there. I did not look at that because I probably, yeah, wouldn't be too happy because they found me otherwise. They found me on Instagram. They found me on direct messages, and they found me on Facebook and told me I was the world's worst human. So yeah, I mean, that part of the job sucks. And I wish I had thick skin. And the honest answer is I don't really. So like, I don't even check out the comments, and I'll respond to people on Twitter, and I mostly just favored it, all the people that called me the world's worst. But yeah, I don't love that part, man. That's why I don't really get on the debates and Twitter and that. But I was definitely not putting that article out there just to get that. In fact, I hate that part of it.
Yeah,
that's honestly how I feel.
Yeah, now that that's for certain, and I'm on it, and that's. But I just want to let you know that that vibe comes off. Like when you talked about your rankings and you have these outliers. I know there's a lot of, you know, people. What they do is they'd say, "Oh, I'm just going to be ahead of ADP on this just to get attention," and sometimes that works. I could tell that your sincerity in your rankings and your writing comes through. So that is that is echoed here.
I want to throw some at you. I took Larry Johnson in the third round of a draft when Priest Holmes was healthy, the starter that year. That year, I mean, obviously it's a good one for me to point out because Holmes went down in week two, like I had expected with that hip deal. And he became the biggest monster for the next 3 years. But that's how aggressive I've been my whole, before I ever wrote anything about anything. I was drafting Larry Johnson, who was a backup in round three of fantasy drafts. I promise you at the time, if there were such a thing as ADP available, that would have been seen as totally absurd.
Yeah, yeah. And that, and sometimes when we're beginners at or novices at fantasy, we have these, we do these things that we wouldn't normally do as when we become more experienced, and sometimes they work out in our favor. All right. So a couple of guys that you're out of line with consensus ADP, and you talked about your Tom Brady article a little bit. You still have Chris Godwin outside of the top 15 receivers, right? You have him as like 20 or something like that last I looked.
Yeah, he's like 19th or something. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, so you're tying that to the exact, I mean, do you want to talk about that a moment, or is it more just tied to the reason because you think Brady is basically a flat tire at this point?
Godwin's great, and there's nothing wrong with being a mid wide receiver too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being the 19th wide receiver. That's still very valuable, but I mean, there's also Mike Evans and Gronkowski and a huge question mark at quarterback. Godwin wasn't top 30 in Whopper last year. If you look in the deep stats, I mean, that's very tough to repeat. All the other fantasy wide receivers ranked top 10 were all equivalent to there in the top 10 of Whopper. And now the whole, all those other situations. But really, honestly, this is just wide receivers sick. Like, look at all these superstar possibilities. I love Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, DJ Shark, Galladay, McLaurin. I mean, there's just so many interesting guys that don't have crazy competition and 43-and-a-half-year-old quarterbacks who fell dramatically off a cliff the last 10 weeks we saw him in action.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, a lot of times, like, I look down your rankings and I, you know, you do this, like, what? And then you realize, like, you know, it makes sense when you read the case for it and you could see it. And, it, you know, it's in the second round with all the running back inflation being happening right now, you're passing over talented wide receivers to take lesser running backs because all those guys that you just named are available 2-3 rounds later. Okay, a couple other ones. This one, so I need an explanation because I'm one of those Josh Allen is in my top five QBs, and then I see you have him all the way down at 17. And now I'm not saying that I'm right, you're wrong, Dalton, but we're on the extreme opposite ends. What's the case for Josh Allen for fantasy being outside of the top 15 quarterbacks?
Okay, first of all, I love Josh Allen, and I aforementioned my family helped me with my job. Part of that is there's some farming community. Josh Allen's from Fireball, California. I can't explain to you how small this is. There are two stoplights in the city. It's the most unlikely town to produce a quarterback in the NFL that I can think of. So I'm rooting for him for sure. And the rushing ability, first of all, I'm a little harsh on him. I'd say if you're in a one QB league in your home league and no one even bothers to carry backups, then it's fine. And go. There's upside there because I mean, added Stephon Diggs and he has the eighth most rushing touchdowns in the NFL the last 2 years. I'm including all positions, but man, you look at the advanced stats and he could be benched halfway through this year, frankly. I mean, it's his accuracy is very, very ugly. He's also, you look at Sports Injury Predictor, by far the most likely quarterback to get hurt. I mean, puts himself in harm's way like crazy, which makes him fun. I mean, super fun to watch. So I actually hate doing this one and it could come back to bite me, but ultimately I like real life good players, and you know, he's young, maybe he gets better. Yeah. But the truth is, honestly, as a passer, it looks bleak. It looks really bad. He would have to show marked improvement.
Yeah, now there's no question, and I cede every argument to you about his real life NFL prospects, but he's already finished as the QB1 overall in that last month and a half of his rookie season, and he showed a tremendous floor. And I think you outlined that you said that you're open to the possibility it could go sideways on you. But, you know, it's an interesting one because you're talking about how the most likely he has a high injury risk. But it's funny, I had a friend growing up that he drove like a maniac. And I always said, this guy is the most likely guy to get into a car accident. But he was like the best driver. He was able to get around turns really quick. Yeah,
but, and who knows how scientific that is, too. I mean, if it fits my narrative, I use it. And that's pretty much, you know, but I mean, who knows how real.
No,
that's a great point, though. eyed. I mean, the guy, and he's shown he can play recklessly and not get hurt. So yeah, that's something.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I love when someone has a completely outside the box, and then you have all these this rationale to back it up. Okay, the other one, and I don't want to bore you with a generic question. So just do 15 to 20 seconds on your love for Jimmy Garoppolo. Everybody asks you on every podcast, but the DFS Army subscriber base who may not have heard it yet, I think they'd be interested. You have Jimmy G as your QB12. He's kind of an afterthought in most drafts. You can get him super late. But what's the case that, especially with him losing Deebo Samuel, the 15 to 20 seconds on why you think Jimmy G is a top 12 QB1?
He got 10.0 YPA on first down last year. That translates to touchdowns. Seventh most red zone attempts last year, if you're worried about volume. But I think the volume's going to increase. Niners defense is just due to regress. Kittle's still there, a monster. They got Ayuk, who's a wingspan of Calvin Johnson. Jalen Hurd returning, McKinnon out of the backfield. There will be options there, but it's just Shanahan in the system, man. I like the schedule. I think there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games in that division. And year two in Shanahan's system, Matt Ryan won MVP. Garoppolo, people aren't forgetting, he was recovering from ACL surgery last year and was totally not 100%. I get it. He had a bad last 20 minutes in the Super Bowl. He might have been concussed, by the way. Missed that deep throw to Emmanuel Sanders. By the way, number one in deep completion percentage last year. Not a lot of attempts, but I just love the system. And they added Trent Williams at left tackle for the blocking. He was by far the most blitz quarterback in the NFL last year and still put up those numbers. So I get it. There's no rushing upside, and the team wants to win with running and defense. But in that system and totally free at draft tables, Garoppolo, are people just overlooking the YPA stats, in my opinion.
Easy schedule to start the year, presumably, too, with the NFC East. So another player, and that's a really good explanation of it. So, you know, when I heard you start touting Jimmy G, and, you know, I told you, I always read your stuff after you tout it because you do back it up with a good case. I started drafting him in some of my best balls a little aggressively, just, you know, just in case. Why not? All right, your new article on tight ends, and are we a little bit too low on tight ends? That one is posted, that when that came out, like yesterday or the day before, your tight end article?
Yes, it's all running in together here. I've been on vacation. I went and picked up a puppy yesterday, got a new French bulldog.
Frenchie, yes, with the bat ears, right? With the bat ears?
Yes, yep. Exactly. You got it. Yeah. Went up yesterday, Tuesday.
Cool. All right. So you have Hayden Hurst as your tight end six. Now I know, you start drafting the same time I do. You start doing best ball the minute they come out, especially this year when you're not doing much baseball. I saw Hayden Hurst go from tight end 17, you know, to 12 to he settled in around 9. You have him as 6. Now, 9 to 6 may not seem significant, but that means you have him in the elite tier. The guys where you have confidence in, where you set it and forget it each week. Is there anything other than the projected opportunity that you see for Hayden Hurst while you have him so high?
Yeah, he's just been the punchline of the joke because he was drafted ahead of Lamar Jackson. But I just love the setup. I mean, basically, he's joining Coors, you know, Colorado Rockies and Coors Field here. Austin Hooper was on pace to lead the NFL in red zone targets before going down, missing a couple games. I just think the replacement there is great. It's such a narrow tree with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and no one else. I mean, Todd Gurley, okay, finished dead last in yards per route run among running backs. So I wouldn't expect many targets there. So I just love the situation indoors. Bad defense should be throwing a lot. And what if Julio, who's 31, or Calvin Ridley goes down and then Hurst, you know, targets could really go up. Pretty good athletically. I know he was old for a prospect, but I mean, he's good. It's going to help in that Baltimore offense. It's going to boost your efficiency ranks. But I don't know. I just love the setup there. I really like Hurst.
You hear some Russell Gage talk. If you are a Russell Gage person, you can't be a Hayden Hurst person. You can't like both of those guys. It's right. It's either or probably.
That is probably true. And I don't have much Gage. I just find really deep in PPR, but out of the slot. But yeah, no, I'm more. I think Hurst is going to eat, especially the touchdowns. I just really think he's a candidate to post double digit TDs.
In a league where I got locked out of tight end, I happen to get him in a dynasty league, so I'm happy. I hope that comes through. All right, someone that you're not as high on as, I put your ranks against mine just to see where I'm out of line a little bit. And you are not that high on Jonnu Smith, correct? You have him outside of the top 15?
No. I like Jonnu.
Okay, so you're in on Jonnu.
I like Jonnu. I mean, I'm ninth. No, I like him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the other outlier then is Blake Jarwin. You're where do you stand on Blake Jarwin?
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, there's a big tier there that I've gone like crazy over summer. Where do I go? I like Hurst and Jared Cook, what he did the second half last year. I know he's a little bit older, but talk about Coors Field. There's another one, Jared Cook. So I like those guys, right? And Higbee. And then I have a gigantic tier from my 8 to 20, basically. And I wouldn't argue. But I decided to move up Blake Jarwin just because I like the upside. I get that there's a lot of mouths to feed, but I believe Dallas has the most vacated targets. Both Randall Cobb and Witten's carcass got 83 targets last year. Dallas averaged 440 yards a game. So there's a lot of, you know, yards to go around. I want a threat to lead the league in scoring this year. So Jarwin's a good player, way bigger, better upgrade over Witten. And it's not going to take a ton of targets for him to put up, do some work. So I like him a lot. He's much deeper than where we're at.
Yeah, he's interesting. He was one of those guys that was early on was a sleeper, then got forgotten about. And now I hear guys like yourself giving him a little bit more of a boost. I wonder where he'll settle in. Be interesting. All right.
Yeah, so CeeDee Lamb, against CeeDee Lamb. But by the way, Jason Witten last year had as many targets inside the 10 as Mark Andrews and more inside the 5. So they throw in there. I know there's new system and all that, but I don't know. I like Jarwin the player too. He passes the eye test. Whenever I watched him and I'd play or whatever, I'd mark down, man, if this guy gets an opportunity, I'm in. And you look at the yards per route run and all that backs it up. So I really like Jarwin.
Yeah, now that I've based on your ranking there, I took another look at him and I bumped him up a little bit too. I think I was a little low on him and Jared Cook, who I somehow in my first pass had outside of the top 12. Now, obviously, he's solidly inside that top 10. All right. Are you the commissioner of any football leagues, a home league?
That aforementioned high school one that's been around for 20 years, 20 plus years. I am commissioner. Yes.
I guess I have to ask. I'm asking everybody. I mean, if I was on the telephone, you, we were just, BSing about anything. What are you doing? Like, are you putting in any rules for COVID? What are you doing with your leagues?
Yeah. Okay. So great question. And I haven't talked about it too much, but our league has always been weird in the sense of, I haven't developed a good name for this. I've seen people write about it, but like basically backup plans. We've said that no matter the game time, we said, this is a game where we all know each other and it's for fun. So we would say if player B is inactive, I'm starting player C or whatever, regardless of the time. So I could see a lot of that. And you just notify me or just your opponent. It's going to be a pain. There are no perfect solutions here, but I absolutely do recommend that because you don't want to be worrying about if it can play. And based on if you draft West Coast teams or East Coast on the times of schedules, it's just not fair. So as frustrating as that's going to be, and sometimes you're not even going to know if you're rooting against the player is going to be in your opponent's lineup or not, I still think that's the lesser of two evils. There are no perfect solutions to this imperfect situation we're in.
Yeah, no, it's going to be wild. This is, I pride myself on knowing who the third and the fourth running backs are. I'm a big dynasty player. But this year, I mean, this could be the year like we see T.O. come back or Martavis Bryant. I mean, they're going to be scrapping to get players off the scrapping.
A battle of attrition as we're witnessing in baseball right now, too. I know it's frustrating. But yeah, I guess you could make a case that you just get the running back insurance and the backup to your backs is more important than ever. But yeah.
Oh. All right. Excellent. So trading, that's another thing I wanted to ask you about. So you're in a couple dynasty leagues, right?
I am. Yes.
Yeah. So how do you think I asked this to a lot of people, what is the best way to go about a trade? I know it's league to league, person to person, but in redraft, it's almost impossible unless you're trading like a running back for, a wide receiver and nobody wants to trade the running backs. People ask me this all the time, and I don't know if I've given a really good answer yet. What do you think is the best way to go about trading from, strategy point of view, and then just execution?
First off, I'm a poor trader. I'm lazy, and I don't search out. I'm in too many leagues, far too many leagues, and too many sports covering the three sports. So I'm bad at that. I'm not. I'm really not active at that. When I am, I will say this: I've been ripped off, admittedly, because I don't like sending offers that are like starters. I'm like, I'm going to look at his team. He needs this position, and this is a legit. It'd be crazy to legitimately, in my opinion, to turn this down. Those are the only really offers I try to make. But my one suggestion that I found actually does work, and it sounds silly, but sending out a blast, an email or on the message board being like, I'm looking for position X and I have extra position Z. And that often does get some bites. It won't be great offers. Typically, they're low balls, and then you get serious. But that would be my advice.
Oh, yeah. I think that's right. It's putting it out there as a general announcement. And then usually you get the one or two bad offers and then you go from there. All right. Switching it up a little bit, Dalton, you are the co-host of A Real Man Would podcast, which you co-host with Chris List. I don't even know if you realize how much of a cult-like following this thing has. I think you have an idea, but what's fascinating about you on this podcast, and for those of you who haven't checked it out, it's called A Real Man Would. Dalton and Chris List cover everything from sports to political topics, to pop culture, health. Everything on there is covered in such an unfiltered way. The fans see themselves in you. Like they see themselves like, hey, you're the guy kind of asking Chris List the questions that we all want to know. And you sit there, and of course, you're taking some punches proverbial punches because of it. Tell me how this started. How did you guys start this podcast? And it's just amazing how much it's grown and what it's become.
Yeah, so it's called The Real Man Would because if you look at the description, I believe Liss writes, when we compare what Dalton Del Don would do and what a real man would do. So that's literally the description in it.
So you're already you're the butt of the joke.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, forget me, man. Poor Jeff Erickson has to deal with him far more than me on a daily basis for hours. So God bless his heart. I love Liss. And I don't know, man. We've been close forever since basically I started at RotoWire. And back in the day, he would have me fly to L.A., and then we would drive often through the worst rush hour traffic to Phoenix to play in labor together. That was he's like, I'll let you be in the NL, but you got to come do this. So it was like a 20-hour trip for me each day. But anyway, we went in a lot of bonding, we're buds, and we went off to Yahoo. So I have a bad memory in general, but I was trying to think of how long this has been around. It was called East Coast Offense. Liss had me on as guest and just went from a frequent guest to every guest. And that's morphed into A Real Man Would. And once a week we talk sports, but typically not really. That's a back burner. I even actually had a friend recently tell me, hey, I'm liking the potty better with sports gone, because yeah, he's like not into that. But all kinds of stuff and politics and whatnot. And I try to keep up with Liss, but man, it's definitely exhausting, mentally exhausting with Liss, whom I know you love.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan, but you understand, like, so I love Howard Stern, right? Because I'm a big Howard Stern guy, but I love Robin with Howard Stern, not because because she is the voice of reason. Dalton, you are the voice of reason on that show. You are, you represent the fans on that show. Whereas Liss, to me, it's just one of the best pieces of entertainment, and it's informative. You know how you've talked about before, because I know you're a fan of Real Time with Bill Maher, and sometimes you don't watch the news the whole week. You catch up on Friday night with Bill Maher, and that's how you get your news. Sometimes, because I just get so busy with all my responsibilities, sure, I miss Bill Maher. I catch up on the news from hearing you talk about the headlines. So believe it or not, when you start bringing up things like you brought up the dam in China and all these other things, like, these are things I hadn't researched at all, but when you bring them up on the show, that's when a lot of the fans get informed. I mean, do you realize the impact that this has on people, this podcast?
So working from home, I'm able to be on the internet all day, and I go on Twitter and I look at the news, and I'm not just sports, all three sports I cover pretty extensively, but you mentioned pop culture, the sickness, constantly have bad TV on in the background. That's, everyone says, how do you watch so much TV? It's always in the background, almost always. But yeah, so I take notes throughout, and I'm like, this is something I need to bring up to Liss. I want his opinion on this. And often I'm learning with you guys. You know, Liss is one of the smartest people I know, not the smartest. So I love his opinion. And I also love riling him up with certain subjects that'll, to go him. But it's funny because I have the wrong podcast partner for someone who loves pop culture and TV, because Liss, is
pretty, he hates
much
it,
against it, which is totally fine. I respect that. He's, he's way above it, way too lowbrow. But that is funny that I'm like dying to talk about this horrible, like, lowbrow stuff that he went hard. But glad that you like the chemistry, and I appreciate it. And Alan, man, I thank you.
Yeah, no, I love the chemistry. And also, just some of these things that you try to, like, get in there to him to talk about, like these I'm going to call them lowbrow shows, but they're not, these cool shows. And the fact that he's so dismissive of them, I think that, because when you see it all the time on social media, people ask, hey, who's got Netflix recommendations? And then you click on the post because you're curious, and it's all this garbage stuff that people think is good. But when you put out your annual lists of all your TV shows and your ranks, I actually go through it, and, many of them I've seen, but for anyone that wants TV show recommendations, Dalton does an annual list. He constantly talks about television shows he likes on the podcast too, and he hits up. Just recently, we just finished Outcry based on your recommendation. That is
crazy, right?
Oh my god! So if anyone, and we'll get into that. I have a whole section of things I want to ask you about, but yeah. So all right. So with the podcast, so are you enjoying it? Just like revving him up and letting him go, because that seems like at times it's a lot of work, more than so that it would seem. But it almost feels like you're a fan of the podcast as much as you are as a co-host of A Real Man Would.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I take notes myself, like an outline of what things that I want to be sure that I ask Liss on. It's what's happened throughout that last week. And like I said, I'm as curious as you guys at his answer. So yeah, absolutely. Again, it is exhausting, and he's a he's interesting, very different, and tough at times. We've had our battles, and boy, if you could only see the stuff that has been on the cutting room floor that he deletes. There's some juicy stuff.
I think he should sell the $5 for the cutting room floor version. I would pay, triple that. One of my favorite recent discussions is when you were trying to explain the credibility of the numbers you're using, and he basically said he doesn't want to hear about any numbers and formulas and advanced analytics. That was a good argument for me. All right. So also, you know, we were talking about pop culture a little bit. Let's get into it. Over the last few months, I mean, nobody watches more TV than I think you do. And I think you have good taste in television. I don't know how the heck you find the time with, you know, having a family and all your other responsibilities. Ones that I took from you, I took Succession from you. So I love that show. But what are one or two shows that you think that people that still have a little bit of time or maybe working from home that you saw over the last couple of months? Give me a, you know, a short list of ones that you recommend for everyone.
Yeah. Poor father, actually, apparently. I need to spend more time with my family, one. secondly, when I do my year-end rankings, it's funny. It's had me thinking that I do them based like on my NFL rankings in the sense of I like this show the best. Not it is the best. Like Chernobyl, I got a hard time because I didn't have it super high. And I know that show is definitely better than other shows that I put on there, but I like my favorite. So if I were like drafting TV shows is how I do that. But so Better Call Saul or Curb Your Enthusiasm, each year they're on a crazy run right now. And they both aired this season. And I'm a Larry David super fan. But I'll say three. Outcry was a great documentary on Showtime, a tough watch. But I'll say three shows. I think they're all on Hulu. But Dave is really funny. It's one of the funnier shows I've seen in a while. It's actually from a co-writer of Curb.
That's the one about Little Dicky, right?
Yes, Little Dicky.
Yeah,
yes,
that one's
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome.
And then Rami, another show on Hulu. And then Normal People. That's more of a relationship show and not a comedy. And maybe one you could watch with Normal People is a really good show this year, too.
No, that's good. All right. And then, I urge everybody to check out Dalton's year-end list. And you can see he ranks TV shows the same way he ranks football players. He goes in the way he would draft. And so many times you look at a lot of cheat sheets from all different sites and you see that, you know, it's just based on projections, median outcome. But when you get in a draft room, would you actually click draft on a player? All right. So when you talk about that, I have a couple more things for you, Dalton. Believe it or not, we've done a half hour already. I could talk to you all day, but I'll be respectful of your time. Health was the next question. So you went over, you had a big health transformation over the last year, and I've been monitoring that based on, you know, you talk about it on the podcast, not that you were unhealthy or anything like that, but you changed some fundamental things that you do from an eating perspective. What are one of the two of the things that you thought you, because I think this will be helpful to a lot of people. What are one of two things that you thought that you could never give up, that you've given up, and then you found replacements for?
Yeah, so I had a bit of a health scare, and it really made me eye-opening and look into some things. And then really honestly, during this quarantine, I really delved even deeper. And I'm just ashamed of myself that it took me 38 years to look into that. I mean, what you put in your body should be the number one thing you should be researching, not stupid reality shows. I drank way too much soda. Sugar is bad for you, man. Cancer loves sugar. It tastes good, but it's just bad for you. If you want sugar, eat fruit. Once you start something, when you get used to it, then you'll look back and you're like, how could I ever have opened the, you know, it just sounds disgusting, a soda. So killing sugar, and as you well know as a List fan, seed oils, don't cook with seed oils. That's really bad. And like fat, butter, that stuff's good for you. That's fine. And meat, I've been finding the right place to get grass-fed meat, and I've ordered a ton of wild salmon, man. You just live off salmon. Fish is the best food for you in the world. But yeah, I've just gone crazy researching. And with the time off of sports, that's one of the main things that I addressed in my life.
Where are you ordering your grass-fed meat from?
So it's Slanker Meats, I believe. I've tried a couple. What is the other one called? Yeah. I forget offhand.
We order from ButcherBox, and then we get from our US Wellness is a good one too that we order for our grass fed meats. But
nice.
Yeah, I learn a lot from listening to you guys have that discussion. And my wife is a functional nutritionist too. So it gets reinforced here at home as well. All right, a couple more things to wrap it up. Like I said, you know, I have a list that can go on and on and on. So that means we'll have to have you back sometime at the end of the year or next year once you slow down again. But football, I found, especially for people that get into it for a living, is nostalgic. So what's your most nostalgic memory of football? Either a game that you saw as a kid that you'll always remember, or a video game. Just what are your nostalgic memories of football?
Okay, so this is going to be weird because I'm a big 49ers fan, but when you're 8 or 9 years old, you don't understand location. And I was a San Francisco Giants fan, so that translated to New York Giants fan in my head, and they also happened to be really good that year. So in the Super Bowl, honestly, I remember as a kid on my knees praying during Scott Norwood's before his field goal attempt. So that Super Bowl, I mean, nothing mattered more than like that, the New York Giants team with Phil Simms, even though they were across the country, couldn't have been farther away from me in California. I was super into that Super Bowl. So for football, it's that. And then as a kid, in other sports, you know, it's Michael Jordan as a kid. Mm. Nothing. I wish something in life mattered to me more than those like Bulls playoff games when I was that age. You know, I mean, you really can't, when you're that innocent in sports, this means that, or at least to me, it meant the absolute world to me.
Yeah, no, and sport, and again, for all of us that get involved in sports, whether it's a full-time hobby or full-time job, we all have those interesting memories. Were you a video game player as a kid at all?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, yes.
So you did like early Maddens, sure, and Tecmo, sure, Bowl and stuff, yeah, like that?
Love the, cool, ambulance coming over and running over the player on the field.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, all right, here's a question that and this will be the final one, and then we'll tell everybody where they can find you. But as a movie watcher, someone that watches a ton of TV, like I said, what is the movie, the scary movie that you watched as a kid that still you can't even watch today because it still gives you that feeling of helplessness?
Man, I don't have a good answer for a scary movie. I remember the movie RoboCop gave me nightmares as a kid. My parents let me watch far too many R-rated movies. That's definitely not a horror movie. But yeah, nothing really stands out from your horror. What's your talent?
The Shining. I can't watch The Shining.
Oh, yeah, The Shining. Okay, that's not a bad thing. That's a great movie, man. Yeah. Well, you can't watch it now. That's too bad, man. Kubrick, that's too bad. Yeah,
I got
that. You know, that probably does work for me, too.
Yeah, there's too many things in there which would disturb my sleep. All right, I'm here with Dalton Del Don from Yahoo Sports. If you're coming over, you're a fan of Dalton's, and you're here watching the podcast and getting introduced to the DFS Army for the first time, thank you for coming over. But if you are DFS Army regular podcast viewer, this is one of my favorites, guys. This is someone who I follow and who I use as a sanity check with rankings, with fantasy football articles. Go to his Twitter at Dalton Del Don. He's got links to all of his content, and he puts out weekly articles. I know a lot of DFS Army members also play a lot of baseball and basketball, and Dalton covers it all. So, did I miss anything there, Dalton? Did I cover all your? All right,
nope, you got it, Alan. Appreciate it.
Cool, man. Well, this is fun for me. You know, I'm a big admirer of your work and everything you do. So, keep at it, and we look forward to seeing more of your content online.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right, brother.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block.